ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Good news for anybody in the U.S. or overseas who needs goods that travel in or out of the busy port of Baltimore. At the Highway Bridge collapse site, Maryland Governor Wes Moore.
A temporary channel on the northeast side of the collapse opened earlier today. It will help us to get more vessels in the water around the site of the collapse.
Big abortion developments in Florida. State Supreme Court decisions enable a new 6-week abortion ban to take effect. And the court okays a voter referendum for this November's election to decide whether abortion rights are enshrined in the Florida state constitution. Convicted murderer Alex Murdoch in South Carolina today is sentenced to 40 years for financial crimes, stealing millions from his clients. The CDC investigating a case of bird flu in a person in Texas. Rare, the first case linked to a cow. No evidence it spreads person to person. This is ABC News. Another plane mishap, but no injuries to passengers or crew. An American Airlines jetliner clipped a parked plane as it pushed back from its gate at the Philadelphia International Airport this morning. Google Chrome's incognito mode was not so incognito.
Google will delete troves of data it collected on people who used the incognito mode of its Chrome web browser. It's part of a settlement in a 2020 class action lawsuit which alleged Google didn't properly inform users about how it tracked their activity using incognito mode. Google must also update its disclosures and allow users to, by default, disable third-party cookies, which are digital trackers used for targeted advertising. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
The Powerball jackpot has officially reached $1 billion. Tonight's prize ranks as Powerball's fifth largest jackpot overall. No one has won the big prize since New Year's Day, a stretch of 38 consecutive drawings. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The hearing surrounding the alleged Biden crime family didn't go very well for House Republicans. They got nothing.
They also have no way of moving this country forward. Every 45 days, we're on the brink of a shutdown because these idiots can't come together and put forth a budget. How about this? You don't get to try to impeach anybody until you finish your homework.
I would heartily back that.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
The Brewers sweep the Mets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 4-1 win to complete a 3-game sweep of the Mets. On Saturday, Mets pitcher Yohan Ramirez ejected for throwing a wild pitch at Milwaukee's Rhys Hoskins a day after his hard slide into second base.
And that one sails over his head.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if there was intent involved.
Oh, boy.
They just threw Ramirez out of the game.
Oh, wow.
The Mets manager, Carlos Mendoza, suspended one game. Ramirez appealing a 3-game suspension. The Brewers' Rhys Hoskins.
People boo you. People doubt you. People do whatever they do. Big leaguers don't miss by 8 feet.
NBA, the Bucks with a win in Atlanta over the weekend. They play the Wizards tomorrow night. College basketball, the Badgers women's team in the WNIT Grade 8. They host St. Louis in the Kohl Center tonight.
Obviously really excited for our players and the program to be able to take another step that we're trying to accomplish.
That's Wisconsin's women's head coach, Marissa Mosley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the mid-20s. A rain-snow mix possible at times tomorrow with more clouds and a little breezy. Highs into the low 40s. Scattered snow showers Tuesday night into Wednesday and windy. Minor accumulations possible. Currently 40 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local civic media radio station and on the app. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome Monday, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. It's a new week, Johnny Lupinacci, man. Look at sure you. Is, anybody in
week,
the Facebook?
New month.
Yeah. The new month, you know, and guess what? It is not going well. We'll see how we get with this month. Gotta love the hat though, man. That is sweet. For anybody on the Facebook and the YouTube and the Twitter, Johnny is sporting a seriously yellow hat.
I am.
Man.
It's a number two. It's a special color, number two pencil color for the Busted Pencil show. You know,
nice.
I had all kinds of ideas, Tim, for April Fool's stuff, but by the time you get me in the evening, I've had so much amateur comedy already today that I'm done with it. I'm like over it. It's already, it might as well be April 2nd. But the day is not over yet.
No, it's not over yet. And actually we'll get to, I think there is actually one of the best April Fools out there. And we'll talk about that.
Goodness.
One of our friends was engaging into it. But Johnny, I got this thing here. So we're coming into Monday all week and I'm looking at this article coming out of K-12 Dive, you know, the trusted source of Busted Pencils. I'm confused. Bringing joy and learning to preschoolers through science lessons. Ooh. And I'm looking through this and I'm like, whoa, wait, preschool, you're talking like 2, 3, 4-year-olds in science. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, science, that's like, you know, sophomores, juniors, seniors in high school, little kids doing science. And I got a little pushback and I thought, you know what, there are times in the past, and we're going to go to this, there have been times where I've been perplexed and I don't know where to turn. And guess what though, we have a place to turn. And I was just thinking about this, you know what, we have our good friend Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom. I wonder, Anya, what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
It is so good to have you back. And Johnny and I have been waiting. You know, we said the show, we started this show. We're going to do a lot more kind of intro to this, but we started the What Would Matt Damon's Mom segment. Nancy, what was that, 2011 at the Save Our Schools rally when we met? And just great stuff. But Nance, okay, little kids, 2, 3, 4 years old, science education, really?
Your intro had a key word in there that gave me chills. You said science lessons.
Okay.
Here's the thing. If you think about little kids, they have a natural interest and draw to nature. You watch any child, they love sand, they love water, they love running water, they love mud, they love flowers and bugs and trees, and they absolutely connect to the amazing nature that's around them. So if we can build on that in early childhood classrooms, and this is the ideal, build on that interest and bring it into the classroom and help children grow that interest through curriculum that connects to what has already naturally been of interest and engagement for them before they got to school, it's a beautiful thing. But when you say science lessons, it's worrying me, because what we've seen are the trends in early childhood education ever since ed reform of the almost now last 25 years that have pushed down academic learning, teacher-directed learning, skill-based learning, and skills and focused endpoint concepts onto little kids that disconnect them from genuine learning, from play-based and activity-based learning. So it's not the idea that it's wrong to teach them science. It's how do you do it?
I mean, the article too, I think the lessons part throws it because it's a concern, but I just say early childhood educators can help young students develop a scientific mindset by avoiding rote memorization of facts and by introducing inquiry-based and engaging activities. I think that's kind of what you're talking about, Nance, right?
It is. You know, I knew a teacher once in an urban school setting who had a kindergarten classroom. And once a week, she walked with her whole class outside to observe one tree that they had chosen. And they watched the changes in the tree. They observed the changes. They came back to the classroom. They talked about what they saw. Then they drew it and they documented it. They hypothesized, if you will, about what the changes were and what they might see next. This is the scientific method, really. Mm-hmm. It's forming and testing hypotheses, observing, recording. And they loved it. They were so excited about the tree and the changes the tree made. They went back out there once a week. They saw whether or not the ideas they had about what the tree might be doing might happen or was something different. This went on for 6 months. This is New England. So from spring through fall, it went through summer to observe this. And not only did it teach them scientific method, but it taught them love of the tree, too. The connection to nature, the appreciation of nature, and a whole holistic experience in science that to me was just a perfect example of what we can do if we build science education onto what is children's natural love of nature and interest in nature. But it's not how it's happening now. It's happening.
Johnny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we'll get to that. We'll get to that. I'll ask you, Nancy, what are some of the sort of the dangers of what's happening now in just a moment. But first, I want to thank you for being on the show with us. It's great to see you and hear you again. And then second, I love for all of our listeners, and especially the teachers out there, right? Especially early childhood teachers out there, do so much. I mean, you know this. We're not telling you. We're preaching to the choir. You're telling us more often, you know, this is stuff we've been doing or we can do in really fun ways. But for you upper-level teachers out there, maybe like hear what Nancy's saying, hear what we're saying here. Too often school seeps in and we teach children to think less scientifically. We start to provide answers. We start to say there's one way to do things instead of, you know, this sort of, I love Nancy that you're bringing up not only the way young children have a natural affinity for inquiry, but their capacity, all of our human capacity, especially when we're young, for all the divergent thinking, for all of the ideas, for all of the, they were even say kind of crazy hypotheses that are in your mind as a young person. What a beautiful thing, right? Because what we know is the more time you spend in school, unfortunately, the less creative and divergent we are at thinking. And so if we think about it this way, young people are the future scientists of our community. They are also, they don't have to become scientists to be scientifically literate or to value science, but we all have this capacity as young learners. Yeah. And somehow it's taught out of us. So I like to believe early childhood educators are doing so much of this, like that example with the tree. And as a science teacher, I think, oh, so cool, because how fun is it to scaffold on then in those early grades? Guess what? Our friend, the tree that we have a relationship with, guess what? That tree's civic duty in our democracy, which includes the tree,
yeah,
is clean air that we have.
Yeah.
Photosynthesis. We start to layer on these concepts, and children have already a working knowledge of inquiry and respect and reverence and reciprocity with the tree and the natural world around them. So it's so beautiful. But Nancy, because I'll just fall into romanticizing this, because I already love early childhood so much. I think we all should learn from our early year educators more. But tell us, Nancy, what's under threat here? Because that sounds like a great preschooler K program, kindergarten program, where yeah. we're learning science by observing, by playing, by asking questions, you know, but too often now, what's happening?
What's happening now, and it's really unfortunate, is that all of the things we've seen with the negative effects of ed reform have pushed down to early childhood, sadly. And unfortunately, now a lot of states now, the departments of education have taken over early childhood, and they've been incorporated into elementary schools. And studies show that the more that's happened, they're dominated by whole group instruction and focusing on specific skills and not on inquiry, not on child-centered observation, activity, play-based learning. The thing about early childhood education that I'm glad you care about it, and I do, is that the groundwork that you lay with young children for not only what they understand, but how to think about the world. So you're using the word inquiry, or we could say hypothesis testing. It sounds fancy, but it actually children do it all the time. Like, what do I think will happen? Oh, this happened. Oh, wow. Interesting. Why? It's a natural way that does get drummed out, a natural way of thinking that gets drummed out of kids really early, and they get convinced, told that they're already information out there, scientific in this case, and then they're told what it is and they have to learn the concepts, but it's completely separate, A, from the content they've already discovered on their own explorations in nature, and B, the way that it's understood, which is through their own inquiry and their own discovery method, and not from being told from an adult teacher. But they already lose that even now at the ages of 3 and 4. They don't actually get to develop it fully. And they're told actually that there's a different way to see the world than what they naturally are capable of doing.
You talk about that too. It's just that I keep hearing this word natural. Natural comes across nature, natural. The natural state of early childhood is scientific inquiry.
It is towards anything. So even if you say it's not science, it could be towards anything in the world, not just the natural world, but asking any questions about anything and having an inquiring mind and a critical thinking mind.
Well, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom, thank you for setting the record straight on that, because I was getting ready to go. It's like early childhood, man, they're too young to be thinking about scientific things. They need to learn to read and write and stuff first. But not only is that, but so you've got a warning, first of all, it's like, let's not make this too hard. But Matt Damon's mom, thank you for busting pencils with us.
And the Dr. Nancy more. Carlson Page. Appreciate
it. The Dr. Nancy Carlson
thank
Page.
You. And, thank you, buddy, for letting me join you. And thanks for caring about young kids.
Absolutely.
And when we get back to the phones, Busted Pencils, back after the break.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number's 855-752-4842. It's educated educators talking education. Dr. Nancy Carlson Page was our guest, the beginning science. Yes, Matt Damon's mom. Right to the phones, though. L.A. Tom is right there knocking on the door. L.A. Tom, what's happening, our friend?
Good afternoon, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. And that means all of us. That just doesn't mean the left or the right or the LGBTQ plus or anybody else. It's all of us make up
That's right.
We the people government. I love what Nancy was saying. I'm going to go back to the thing I think was, as soon as kids start reading, that they should start reading positive affirmations to themselves. The biggest obstacle that I see is that there's a lot of insecure, I'll call them boys, even though they're old enough to be men, that they seem to think that creativity goes along somehow with being effeminate or being gay. And I think that's something that we really have to look at in terms of, women raise boys. And these boys, when they grow up, for some reason, don't treat women very nice, especially the ones that are from a certain political persuasion, it seems to me, anyway. Not putting it all as a broad blanket on them, but, like today, Crudy and Dom had some guy called up and said, "You guys are gay." And it's like, you know what?
Oh my,
take your
goodness.
Hypermasculinity crap, yep, and get it out of here, because that's what it is. It's hyper. It's a guy that thinks that he's so masculine, or masculinity equals gay or non-gay. And I just think that, when Nancy was talking there, and I was hearing about creativity, and I was hearing about, young children, whether, boys or girls, loving nature and doing all that. And all I could think to myself was, oh my God, they probably think that this is some type of left wing takeover or something, where people can't be free to think. And I really think that's something that we need to, in our culture, because you could have the most wonderful teacher in the world, but the minute that kid gets home and hears his father talk a certain way or whatever it might be, that just destroys that young kid. And I think that, we really need to listen to Into the Woods, which is, be careful the words you say, because children are listening.
L.A. Tom,
seeing what you're doing.
L.A. Tom, man, you brought that into the point here to really land it. And in fact, I don't know if you're referring directly to the book Into the Woods, one of the best books about taking kids out into the woods. Just point that out. But yeah, the creativity and bringing that in, and I'd say, L.A. Tom, yeah, the sensitivity towards, masculinity, femininity, all those things are definitely things we're talking about, though, too. I think the concern really with the early childhood, particularly when we're talking with Nancy with science, is to take that natural, and that's the word, Johnny, that I really like Nancy was using, that natural kind of propensity to want to know, to understand, to dig deep, the encouragement. And this is where I think L.A. Tom's saying, all of us then in those moments were students, and I guess any age, right? But particularly young, when they start at, you know, expressing desires and creativity and wants, and the ability for, you know, an adult to potentially squash that, you know, from a perception in Tom's case, you know, perception of, boy, you know, being creative in nature sounds feminine. Well, no. It's like, we need great scientists, and being curious about nature. Wait a minute. Johnny, that's where I'm trying to link all of things Tom was putting together.
I want to link it together too, because I mean, Tom, thanks for the call. Always love when you give a call. That's all of our listeners. I don't think we have any callers that we're like, oh, not this call.
Oh, no,
I
right?
Love hearing from you. But, you know, LA Tom coming through with the reminder that it is we the people. That means all the people. It means it's complex and we have a lot of perspectives on things. And our job then is to be really good at figuring it out. And that doesn't mean fighting to have your one way. And that doesn't mean letting insecurities or, you know, or violences that you've naturalized, because I'm going to break up that term natural that we used earlier a little bit, because some things can be naturalized, like what LA Tom's bringing. We're socialized in a patriarchy. And yes, I'm sure this means like now we're left wing exposing. But again, you know, to be feminist doesn't mean that you're specifically on the left or on the right. You just are against, you know, misogyny and the dominance of patriarchy. We can get into a whole show about that. But nonetheless, in our culture right now, too often, young people learn that it's a particular thing to be male or masculine. It's a particular thing to be female or feminine, and that it's really direct and one-to-one. And it's far more complex than that. Thank you, future generations that are blowing up those patterns right now, which we're very excited about. But the idea here is that first thing, you know, whoever the caller was that called up the Dom and Crudy earlier and called him gay, thank you for, like, sorry that you do that, but thank you for bringing that to all of our attention, because come on, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Come on, man. Seriously?
Come on, man.
That's what you got. But what that person likely meant was they meant to put down Dom and Crudy. When there's absolutely nothing about masculinity, a healthy masculinity, that is hardwired to your sexuality. Right. To what you desire or what you like. So that kind of use of language, there I say, what did the youth call it? They say it's cringe. It's absolutely more than that. Right. It is remnants of a violent world. Right. That still exists for too many people. And so, you know, shame on that person. Yeah, I said it. Like, I rarely shame people. But I think, you know, some public shaming for calling somebody gay, like other than in a celebratory way, like high five, like, you're out, you're proud, and let's hope you have the best life out there, knowing that it's not an easy road for anybody in this kind of violence that folks, particularly in the LGBTQ community, are exposed to. So yeah, I'm shaming you. Shame on you for calling Dom and Crudy gay. You can disagree with them, but that use of language is far too violent and destructive and remnants of an old world, right? A world we no longer want part of our lives, but too often have all around us. And so we're working to make that change. Thanks, Tom, for bringing that up. But Tim, you know, sometimes when we say, hey, we got to let things be natural, well, different people have understandings of what natural means, like natural order, natural law, these kinds of things. It can get highly conservative quick. And that's not the version, not saying that version like shouldn't exist as a diverse opinion, but it's often utilized as a way to say, natural means, and I can just hear it, right? Maybe the same.
Oh, guy. I know. Yeah, you're making me.
Natural means that these kids are, you know, aren't learning to love trees. I'll tell you what, trees are God's, you know, are God's creation for man to dominate and rule. That's natural.
Two by fours out of. You got to make two by fours out of them trees.
So I want to differentiate, and I think Tom brought that up. You know, I think he said like, hey, let's talk about when we are talking about, we're talking about the natural world. We're talking about, you know, a multi-species diversity, you know, diverse things, a bioregion rich with life. And it's our relationship with that diversity of things and our understanding and wonder for the value, recognizing the value in something like a tree or the natural world that we're in. So, I mean, I took up some time there, but I appreciate Tom's call. I'm glad we got to shame the person who was insecure and called up and, you know, used violent language towards Dom and Crudy. And when we come back, Tim, let's chop it up some more and let's get into this April Fool's stuff and things happening in the world. All right?
All right, man.
Tuesday on the Maggie Dawn Show, it is a spring 2024 election special. Don't miss it. We got a bunch of candidates coming in to talk all things election.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Northland College in Ashland has a little more than 2 days to raise $12 million to stay in business. An emergency fundraiser ends at midnight Wednesday. The Board of Trustees admits in a letter issued last week they have a long way to go to reach their goal. Meanwhile, Northland faculty are offering a plan to cut costs and increase revenue. It includes reducing enrollment and renting out some student housing to the public. Children in Wisconsin from low-income homes will get nutritious food this summer. Qualifying families will get preloaded debit cards to use to buy groceries.
We've got families with low incomes, most of them working, by the way, but just not able to put that extra meal on the table for kids who are at home during the summer months.
Shelley Forner is with the Hunger Task Force of La Crosse. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A cargo ship that got stuck at a Superior dock required an assist from another ship to get free. According to a Fox 21 report, a ship called the Burns Harbor found itself stuck at BNSF Railway Dock 5 in Superior after fueling up and loading its hull. Officials say the cause of the unusual traffic jam is still unknown, but it could be due to something like lower water levels, sediment buildup, or that the ship was just carrying too much weight. The ship unloaded some of its cargo onto another ship and was then able to depart. A substitute teacher from Carleton is well on his way to another Jeopardy title. According to a Northern News Now report, Sam Cavanaugh advanced to the semifinals of his first invitational tournament with Jeopardy on Thursday as community members hosted watch parties back home to celebrate his success. Cavanaugh pulled out the win on Thursday by wagering the lowest amount of money on the final Jeopardy question, which no contestant was able to answer. He is already a four-time Jeopardy champion. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Whoopi Goldberg says aliens are among us. The subject came up on The View when Ghostbusters Frozen Empire star Kumail Nanjiani was on the show and said he didn't believe in ghosts but might believe in aliens. Whoopi wasted no time saying they are already among us, at which point co-host Sonny Hostin joked, aliens are talking to Whoopi. Goldberg continued saying we always need to be aware because that is the nature of being an earthling. I knew it. Speaking of sci-fi, I'm back and forth with the genre, to be honest, but the show Three Body Problem was really intriguing and kept my interest once it got going. It's a story about a group of scientists and a policeman who try to fend off an invasion of aliens who barrel toward Earth after receiving a signal in the 60s. The show is based on a book of the same title, but Whoopi Goldberg thinks it's real. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the mid-20s. A rain-snow mix possible at times tomorrow with more clouds and a little breezy. Highs into the low 40s. Scattered snow showers Tuesday night into Wednesday and windy, minor accumulations possible. Currently 40 degrees.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842 is the number if you want to call get in here. Yeah, we were. Yes, we were just talking to Matt Damon's mom, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Science, little kids. Yes, little kids. And then L.A. Tom gave us a call, put us in a direction that, you know, really comprehensively helped us make two different points there. Johnny, you were kind of talking about this, too, and the potential to say, you know, because Nancy kept saying natural, and I was like, yeah, that's the word, that's the word. And you were pointing
it
out,
is,
though, hey,
it is.
Be careful. Be careful with that word, because that word itself can be used very conservatively to point out, going, what's natural is, you know, and is, you know, boys liking girls and girls liking boys and all, you know, and cutting down trees to make wood and shooting animals to eat. And that's the natural order of things. Well, it wasn't really making that reference. And I think that it's good to be cautious. The innate state of childhood is curiosity.
Expert and consensus, scientific literacy. And it doesn't run antithetical to also for folks out there who may say, wait, hold on a minute. But, you know, I don't necessarily only listen to science. It's not antithetical also to different religious beliefs of children. Unfortunately, though, we have kind of an adult supremacist world we live in. And so kids aren't always valued. Right. And we often think about needing to control them or knowing what's best for them. And then sometimes actually we don't always know, or we haven't historically always been on the side of, you know, caring for children in the way that they best grow and develop. And so when Nancy used the term natural, and Tim, you were using it, and I'm going along with it, because yes, there is sort of a natural affinity that we as human beings have across all cultures for inquiry, especially when we're young, for learning through play, for observation, for creativity. And, you know, and so we want to, you know, to harness that, to foster that growth, you know. And then I just pointed out, because Tom said he could imagine the same kind of guys who called up Dom and Crudy, you know, with their garbage language and, you know, violent remnants of a past world we hope goes away soon. But the idea, you know, that those kinds of folks might be listening and saying, well, you know, this sounds like some, you know, some real liberal washing of the, of, you know, of what we know kids actually need. They need more structure, more discipline. And, you know, disciplined classroom in early childhood especially looks like a lot of playing, and it has structure to it, but it's how children learn. It is natural to where they are developmentally, to their growth, to the diverse ideas and identities that are budding at that age, right? And so you know, it's not punishing. And too often school, we understand discipline as punishment. Luckily, you know, when we have Ed Amplified on, Educators Amplified, we have Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna who come in and they break this down, you know, every day, how they work for engagement and not compliance, right? And so that's a beautiful thing. We get to it later in the week. But Tim, so you know what else is going on in the world? It's baseball season.
Okay.
All starting up, especially I think the Brewers out there, listeners in the Milwaukee area, right? You got a home opener tomorrow. But Tim, on baseball season, in the spirit of that, because I told you already, I'm not an April Fool's guy. I'm amateur comedy out by evening here. But I'm going to lob one up to you so you get a hit a home run.
Okay, all right, I'm ready.
Because I don't know, I'm going to steer the show a little bit. I don't know if it's what we had on the agenda. But I tell you, every time I see and hear, because if you're on the live stream, you could see and watch us. But every time I see and hear you and Dr. Nancy Carlson Page talk, I'm reminded of, like, you guys have been talking about this stuff for years. So, like, give me the verge. Like, tell them a little bit. Like, how'd this come to be? Like, come on, man. How did busted pencils get to ask Matt Damon's mom, play with that whole idea? Because we know Dr. Nancy Carlson Page as a peer, you know, as an established professor in education. But connect the dots for the listeners out there, because I mean, I have pieces of the story, but I've never actually asked you. So I'm lobbing this up. Give us backstory, man.
All right, I got my favorite Louisville slugger in hand for this one, for the lob pitch. 2011, the height of No Child Left Behind, and you even heard Nancy referring to it. Ed reform. The Ed reform movement is just destroying schools, and there was a movement of educators across the country through what was called Save Our Schools. We went with the SOS call sign. And we put together a rally in Washington, D.C., to get there and to say, we're going to advocate for public schools. And one of the key speakers, and you can YouTube search this, Matt Damon speech, Save Our Schools speech. You can pull it up where Matt was giving a speech for Save Our Schools. And I was there because I was a father who had opted his son out of No Child Left Behind. And I was invited to come and do a little conversation about what it means to opt out. And during Matt's speech, I was behind the scenes in one of those tents where Matt's mom was, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. And we met, and I did this kind of like, I'm like somebody's like, you know who that was? I was like, I said, yeah, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. She's an early childhood educator. Like, no, that was Matt's mom. I was like, really? Oh my goodness. And but we had really just struck up a conversation about education advocacy and how we were happy to be here. And here's what happened, though. Once I realized that was Matt's mom, and then I'll have to find the picture. I got a picture backstage, or you know, behind the scenes in a tent. It was like 98 degrees in DC too. It was horrible, with Matt and his mom, and you know, I get this picture there. But I then afterwards went, you know, developing the show and putting the show together and thinking, man, I bet I could ask Nancy to ask Matt to be on my radio show. And, you know, I was,
of course,
stupid enough or ballsy enough or whatever you want to say it. And I was like, hey, Nance, I sent this real nice email. Hi, Nancy Carlson Page. This is Dr. Tim Slecker. We met at the Save Our Schools rally. Matt was great at speaking at that rally. I have this nobody knows podcast called Busted Pencils. I was thinking, you know, Matt would be a really good guest on my no name podcast. And we got back and said, she's like, Tim, I want to tell you. And this really is where it got solidified. We met again the following year when my group, United Opt Out, had an Occupy the Department of Education event down in D.C. And we got Nancy to come and speak. And she gave me the story. And she said, you know, what happened when Matt with Good Will Hunting, when that movie broke, there was a realization that, you know, their lives had changed. And the promise between her and Matt was that she would never put him in a position like that where he would ever have to be anything other than her son. And I was like, you know what? That is so awesome. We walked the streets of Washington, D.C., came back, and I went, you know what? Called her, got her in a phone conversation as we were just getting ready to record one of the first episodes of Busted Pencils. And I said, Nancy, how about this, though? I said, I got this. You've agreed to be on the show. I love Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. I said, what do you think, though, if we called the segment, What Would Matt Damon's Mom Say? And I'm sitting there going, I'm ready for her to go, Tim, that's so stupid. My God, I told you not to. And she goes, oh, my God, that's so funny. And I said, yeah, I said, I'm glad you think it's funny, because I said, what's really great is you're Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, early childhood expert. You've written books. And I said, you know, celebrities, we're always asking celebrities what they think about things. And we're like, who cares what celebrities think? We want them to act well in movies. We should go to the experts. And I said, here we have the perfect example. I said, why would we ask Matt Damon? Let's ask his mom, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. And so, yeah, since then, 2011, so there we are now here. And this is every first Monday of the month now, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page has agreed to come back on Busted Pencils. And we will be doing this segment every first Monday of the month what would Matt Damon's mom say? And we will have these, you know, issues where Nancy is going to weigh in. We put it in her, the first one today, April Fool's. She was like, no, this was not an April Fool's date. That really was Matt Damon's mom, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. No fooling you. And every Monday from now on, every first Monday of the month, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page will be joining Busted Pencils, where we will put out a question, put it in her wheelhouse today, because she is an early childhood educator, one of the founders of Defending the Early Years. Check out that website. I'm sure Nancy would want us promoting that. Go to Defending the Early Years. You can see the work she's doing there. But she's going to be on, and we'll be throwing all kinds of questions at her, Johnny. So I don't know. That's the great segment.
Yeah, that's a great recap of it. And you know, I love it. I love that segment. I love that Dr. Nancy Carlson Page is going to be on here, because, like you said, I mean, she's just a great advocate for strong public education and an expert. I mean, we love experts. Like, we, you know, when I go to get my car fixed, I take my car to a mechanic I trust as an expert. You know, when I need a job done, like I need to get some plumbing fixed, I call them a plumber. I want them to be an expert plumber. So when we have a question or a topic that involves early childhood, we get to have our in-house, very good friend, Nancy Carlson Page, the Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, who also happens to be Matt Damon's mom. And so a great connection there. If listeners don't know, like, this isn't just a, you know, grabbing straws, because certainly Matt's a celebrity and has had great success in film and other things, but he has been just for as long as I can remember, an advocate of teachers. And it makes sense, right? When now you can put together some of these pieces, some of the stories that Dr. Nancy Carlson Page shared about raising her sons and about their education and about her experience as a parent and teaching history and being, teaching them history and being friends and neighbors with the Howard Zinn. And so these are
the Howard Zinn and Johnny, right? Yeah. I'm going to tell you too. I mean, one of the great things about Nancy, she's an expert at early childhood education, but she's a public school advocate, like you said, has been there. And so the range of issues that we'll be covering with Nancy, and in fact, probably that'll be one of the ones. It's like, you know, what is the connection between Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon, and Howard Zinn? I would challenge everybody to go back to Matt's, you know, Goodwill Hunting, where he does a kind of a monologue and talks about, you know, Howard Zinn. And at that point, it's like, whoa, okay. But yeah, there's a really cool connection there. We'll be talking about that. So Johnny, yeah, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, what would Matt Damon's mom say? We'll be doing that every Monday, first Monday of the month. I'd even put this out there too. You know, if you guys have suggestions for questions that you think Dr. Nancy Carlson Page might want to take a stab at, throw us those questions. You know, we've been recruiting people to be on the show. We're looking forward to that audience participation. In fact, the number's 855-752-4842. If you guys are thinking, my goodness, they're just talking away tonight, they're not even taking phone calls. We're always taking phone calls at Busted Pencils. 855-752-4842 to jump in there. But yeah, kind of laying that history out there. And I put it in our current chat, the YouTube, that Save Our Schools video of Matt Damon from 2011. We'll put that in. We'll link that in the podcast tomorrow when we put the podcast out on you, so that people can see that. And people will be like, whoa, that's Matt. And he was doing a really cool film at the time. And Johnny, he's got our hairdo in that video. Okay. With you. Yeah. Now, but his was done intentionally for the role that he was playing. So I'll just put that out there. But you know, yeah, man, it's great. And he said, when there is a phone, you know, whenever there's an issue, what has been great is that Nancy, you know, I'd say, hey, what do you think about this issue? Can you come on Busted Pencils and talk about it? And she has been, you know, nonstop now for, you know, going on 13 years, just an incredibly great supporter of the show. And so, yeah, we really, Nancy, and if you're still listening now, we really, Johnny and I, appreciate and thank you so much for coming on and you know, being a part of Busted Pencils. Going to continue to bring that. You know, we're going to bring all kinds of stuff like this, Johnny. This is a great thing. You know, 5 days a week, man. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Busted Pencils every day of the week. Man, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. People were sitting there going, how do they do it? Well, guess what, man? When we're talking about saving democracy, every night of the week, there is more than enough to talk about, because that's what public education is. It's the corner. It's the foundation of democracy. And we're going to bust pencils every day of the week to make sure that our public schools are where they need to be. The number one issue. When we get back, Johnny, we'll break that down a little bit more.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Cool, yeah. Man, Seven Dust, love it. Anybody, name that tune, Seven Dust. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, 855-752-4842. April Fool's Day, Monday, but no April Fool's today. That was Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom. Hey, but maybe just as important, we have Joanne on the line. I wonder what Joanne has to say. Joanne, what's happening, our friend? Joanne, you there?
And all right, but I do have a question. You were looking for different themes to bring into your once a month segment with Dr. Carlson Page, and I was thinking in general about questions and the importance of making sure that students, young, very very young students, have their questions honored and. Maybe recorded in some ways. I'm sure she has the most relevant and up-to-date research on all of this. And I'm just wondering, because there's something that kind of, for lack of a better phrase, beats it out of young people, that they could ask questions and get them answered and all that, and then they get really quiet. And that's what's scary to me, because again, bubbling up with questions and engaging people with questions, that's life. And that whole notion of asking questions, that goes through all these areas we're talking about, especially when it comes to democracy. And here I'm thinking of our wonderful collaborator, L.A. Tom, along those lines. So, again, question asking, how to rein it in. You can't have it all the time, but making it a meaningful part of education.
Thank you, Joanne. I was going to say, yeah, reining in it. I would say one of the issues that I'm more concerned about, and I think this is what Nancy was saying, Johnny, too, is that way too often we spend time very quickly with little kids. And as you say, getting them to do school is largely telling them to stop asking the questions that they bring, so that by the time we see them, you know, in fifth grade, even, you know, seventh grade, eighth grade, you know, one of our great guests, that Michael Fullan talks about this, for every year that kids spend in school, they lose a capacity of engagement, so that by the time they're juniors in high school, they've essentially totally checked out and disengaged. And then when they get to college, we sit there and go, you know, anybody got any questions? And they kind of give us that look like, we don't ask questions, because we've been taught over the years, you don't ask questions in school. School's not for questions. I think that's kind of where, you know, we'd say with Nancy and where Joanne was going, Johnny, what do you think?
Yeah, and I'm excited about it. And you know what? Like, folks, on the first Monday of the month, give us a call. Call in. You too can ask, you know, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page what her thoughts are on topics related to this. So love the participation. Love the text coming in. Got one. Hey, yeah. Guys, what did Matt Damon's mom say? Intriguing. Great idea. I'm in. Thanks, Michael. Awesome, Michael. Thanks for calling in or texting in. Same, sort of same thing these days. You know, text
right.
calls. It's a similar world. Ah, so, man. All right. Thanks, John.
Yeah, it's just that. And so, you know, early childhood, but, you know, say start bringing all these things together. You say school, Johnny, and I think it's one of the things you've been great about pointing out is the difference between, you know, learning and going to school, and that a lot of times school can be very antithetical to learning. Because school is a performative function sometimes. And in fact, you'd say some of the most successful people with school have learned to perform a role and have really learned that role. And if you ask students what that role is, it's like, my job is to sit there and give you the answers occasionally when you ask them for me, not to ask too many, and to do my work, to be quiet, sit back, and then at the end of the day, walk away, do my homework, come back in the next day, and I go through I know the game of what it means to be in school. And John, I remember thinking about this working with when I was doing early childhood social studies for future early childhood teachers. You know, I'd sit there and sometimes get really frustrated because they would just look at me like, Dr. Slecker, it's your job to just keep telling us what we're supposed to do. And our job is to then repeat back to you. Why do you keep asking us what we think? And it's just like, my goodness, it was really right there. You know, these 19 to 22 year olds that are going to be early childhood educators, they had communicated loud and clear to me that I was breaking the rules of the game by asking them to contribute what they think. They had learned very strong that the rules of the game, you don't engage and you don't have thoughts. You do what you're told. And I mean, this is what we have to worry about, right?
Yeah, Tim, I think I've said it before on here, you know, it's really important when you're working against the grain or when you're, you know, challenging status quo to recognize that, you know, schools do a lot to maintain status quo. They do an excellent job of sorting people out based on how good you are at school. That often does mean like you have to have some learning ability, you have to have some success. But what it has done a really great job of socializing this idea that you have to be smart or you have to be really intelligent or you know, to be successful. You have to get through school. And what we know is school has pushed out a lot of very intelligent, a lot of wonderfully creative people for whom compliance and submission just doesn't work for. So, you know, we get a lot of students as we're teaching people to become teachers. They've got, you know, 20 some years of success in school. And when I put the quotes up for the people on the live stream, they can see the scare quotes. School is different than education. It is a very different thing. It is a process by which you follow the rules and often are do what you're told, and you ask questions, but they're not really like inquiry. They're sort of like being present in the moment in terms of like, I kind of know what the questions are I'm supposed to ask. Let me ask them, let me do these tasks and get them completed and pass along through. And so, you know, you have to interrupt schooling is a part of the process. Now, I will say, we talk about it a lot. It is exhausting. It leads to a lot of teaching demoralization. It leads to a lot of what we'll call pushouts. Those are students for whom school are, they're like, enough. It's not like they did something to fail out of school or that they're not intelligent or, you know, bright young beings. They are pushed out because simply school is just not a place that they are going to continue to go to. So, you know, we get into that a lot on here, liberating, you know.
What?
Tim, you're coming in kind of shaky. You're coming in shaky, so we'll just catch you up. Where I was talking about is, you know, here on Busted Pencils, one of the things we're doing all the time is we're working really hard to liberate education and learning from schooling. And so that's a great way to sum things up. Hit us Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday here on Busted Pencils. Love you, listeners. Give us a call. See you tomorrow.
From Birchwood to Poplar,
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
Coming up Tuesday on Matt Nair On Air, Up North News, Pat Whitelow joins us at 10:30 to discuss all things news. Make sure you join us.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The Coast Guard's opened a temporary alternate channel for boats involved in